Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Rishi Sunak has criticised the European Union for a regrettable choice of words, he says, after the Falkland Islands was called the Malvinas in a diplomatic statement. The UK and Argentina fought a 10-week war over the disputed islands, as you know, in 1982. Here's how the BBC reported the invasion 41 years ago.
Argentina has invaded the Falklands. 2,000 men are reported to have gone ashore this morning and taken full control. The government are expected to confirm the invasion soon. Senior ministers are meeting now at number 10. RAF transport planes have been taking off from Wiltshire, destination unknown. Argentina has seized the British Falkland Islands, whose ownership she's been disputing with Britain for two centuries. Emergency meetings are going on in London between the Prime Minister and her Defence and Foreign Office ministers, while there's been feverish activity at Royal Air Force and Royal Navy bases. Argentina's ruling military junta says that the Falklands and their 1,800 British residents are now under the occupation of more than 2,000 Argentine soldiers.
And after that 10-week war in 1982, the Falkland Islands, or Malvinas, remains a UK territory until today, but Argentina continues to claim it as its own, as you know. For more on this diplomatic wrangle, I'm joined from Brussels by journalist and EU correspondent Jack Parrock. Jack, you're very welcome to the programme. I hope, Jack, you can hear me. This is quite the diplomatic rumpus between the UK and Argentina, isn't it? Can you explain the background here a bit, though, first?
Yeah, of course. So what happened was there was a summit this week, earlier this week, between the EU, 27 leaders, and 33 countries in the Latin American bloc that's known as CELAC. So it was a big sort of pomp ceremony, lots of leaders getting together, swirling, discussing all the issues. This wasn't an issue on the agenda. The issue around the Falkland Islands was not part of it. But in the language that came out after the summit had happened, there's a declaration that comes out. They wrote about it where they said, Islas Malvinas / Falkland Islands. Now, the Argentinian government started speaking publicly after the summit saying, look at this, the EU is now terming this as Islas Malvinas, as we have long tried to get the international community to do. That CELAC block of countries backs Argentina to try to get an international dialogue to discuss the sovereignty of the Falkland Islands. Obviously, the UK is unhappy about that. When that statement came out, British diplomats here in Brussels tried to lobby their EU counterparts to get a change in the document. But the way this works is the leaders of all those countries were in Brussels. That's the highest level. They all signed off on it. Mm-hmm. So it remains in the document. We did have some comeback from the European Union's foreign policy arm. They said the position hasn't changed. This was just language in the document. The EU's position on this is still the same.
Well, it's very interesting, the statement from the Foreign Office, isn't it? They say, regarding the question of sovereignty over Malvinas or Falkland Islands, the European Union took note of CELAC's historical position based on the importance of dialogue and respect for international law in the peaceful solution of disputes. And it may be, some may say, post-Brexit and the Northern Ireland Protocol and the bill to amend it unilaterally, a bit rich for the UK to rely on international law. But that's maybe for another day. It has been colonised in its history, Malvinas, hasn't it, by various European countries, including Britain.
Well, what you raised there is a really, really significant point. When there was the last time that there was an EU CELAC summit in Brussels was in 2015. David Cameron, the then Prime Minister, was alleged to have stood up and had a stand-up argument with his Argentinian counterpart at the time over this issue, having full arguments. When Britain was in the European Union, it had every right to be able to veto texts of this nature. If Brexit hadn't have happened, the British Prime Minister would have been sat in that meeting with the other Latin American leaders and would have had a say on this. Now, frankly, while obviously there is a sort of understanding of the diplomatic delicacy around this, the EU isn't particularly interested in hearing what the UK has to say about this from the outside. Mm-hmm. And that is how the UK has to lobby on these issues.
And it's almost like the European Union is, I'm not saying using this, but it's the post-Brexit reality. They're saying, well, tough.
That's pretty much what they're saying. I will say that from speaking to EU officials, they actually want nothing to do with this. I think they knew perhaps it was going to happen and that they really just wanted it to sort of slide under the radar perhaps a little bit. That obviously hasn't happened. The government in Argentina is trumpeting this as a massive diplomatic victory and that the EU's on their side. I don't think that that is actually the case now. I don't think we're going to see the
they've
EU
gone further,
support that dialogue.
Jack, they want to open dialogue with the European Union to discuss the future of Malvinas, don't they?
Yeah, but they've always wanted to do that. That was the case before this. I don't think that you're going to see the EU foreign policy chief, Joseph Borrell, start tabling proposals to open those discussions. The thing is about how it's painted, the optics around this. And like you say, it's the power balance. It shows Britain's inability to force these issues in Brussels now. It looks in from the outside, and that's the reality of Brexit.
And it also shows how colonisation, many, many years later, generations later even, can cause untold political difficulty for the colonising country. Jack Parrock, thank you very much indeed for that. And Jack is in Brussels, he's a journalist and EU correspondent. Now we'll move on.